Right now, it is time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, and this will definitely settle things down for me. Good morning, Arthur.
Oh, good morning.
What a morning.
I apparently came in on a good moment because you had a bad moment.
Oh, I've had it's been a horrible morning since I woke up, but you know what? It's gotten a lot better right now.
Okay, good. I'm you know, I'm being prepared for a real hot spell that we haven't really had yet. Have you had a real? I mean, we had a few days of high temperature and humidity, but really, like 2 days.
Yeah, no. Our meteorologist this morning was saying the same thing. We've been extremely lucky this year with no real, maybe one or two hot days, and that's been it.
Yeah. Well, it's going to happen. And, you know, when it does happen, I was thinking a lot about this. I stop eating and I start drinking. You know, all I can think of, in fact, today, I swore I would do this last week, but I didn't, make some simple syrup so that I can make some summery cocktails.
Oh, yeah.
Including, this is a very out-of-fashion drink, the Tom Collins.
Yep.
You remember Tom? It was very, I mean, when I was a kid,
it's the first
all
thing,
the adults were drinking Tom Collins.
That's what I tried to order a Tom Collins when I was underage at Sam Parker's, an old mafia guy who opened up a bar in Millerton years ago. And he took my order, right? And he went back and he comes to the bar and he brings a glass of milk. He says, "Here, drink this and get drink this and get the hell out."
Well, he could, you know, Tom Collins is really just soda with gin. So you make a little simple, it's gin, a little syrup, and ice, and soda water. That's sort of it. So it's really just lemon soda with gin. But it was very popular, and I don't know what made me think of it the other day, probably heat. I was drinking gin and tonic, and I thought, oh, you know, what about Tom Collins? But anyway, this year, for some reason, I'm not so much into the drinking on a hot day as I am into eating fruit. And several of those hot nights, I didn't eat dinner at all. I just had fruit because it's very satisfying. And even if you're diabetic, which I am, there are fruits that are relatively low in carbohydrates. The summer fruits really are good. You think, oh, a sweet peach must be horrible, full of sugar. But no, it's not. A peach, a nectarine, I eat a couple of those a day. You know, but I always thought that nectarines were a hybrid fruit, like they started out as peaches. But I did a little botanical research to find out that it's just a smooth-skinned peach. Nobody explains how it doesn't taste the same. I do love nectarines, and I have trouble finding good peaches, though my next-door neighbor, Ellen, has found a source of really good freestone peaches, which I've been eating, but I'm actually going to indulge in a real dessert this week because I have the peaches that I need. It's hard to find freestone peaches, these are smallish ones. The dessert I'm going to make is something I used to make, like, every summer. And there were a couple of summers I had a beach house, and my friends who I beached housed with sort of made me make this all the time. And it's a peach, as in the fruit, crostata, cream crostata. But because I was making it at the beach all the time, I started calling it the beach crostata. I got to say, this is one of my more famous recipes. I do not remember where I got it from, but it is in my very first cookbook, so I was making it already. In 1978, I was making it a lot already. And it's a great recipe. You need to have, you don't need to have smallish ones necessarily, but you need to have moderate-sized peaches that are freestone. Because you want to peel and pit the peaches, but you don't have to do anything more than halve them. So 5 or 6 medium peaches, You know how to blanch them and peel them? You put them in a pot of boiling water, count 1 minute, take out the peaches. You can either let the peaches cool until they're ready to handle, or you can very gingerly do this when they're still hot, and the skin should slide right off. This is a baked item, so, you know, I think you want to choose a day that it's not going to be hideously hot, so you can turn the oven on, but you could make it in the morning, and it'll hold up gorgeously until dinner time if you want to do that. I don't like to make this ahead. It doesn't refrigerate well, and I guess you could make it and then just leave it at room temperature for a day. I dare you to leave it on the counter for a day. It's going to disappear. But anyway, try to make it the same day you're going to eat it. Now, what it is a cookie crust. It's not a rolled-out crust. You press this crust, and it's 2 cups of flour, 2 cups of all-purpose flour, and 1/4 cup of sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and then you cut in 8 tablespoons of butter. What I mean by cut in, either use a pastry blender, or I like rubbing it. I like actually the process of doing this. I rub the butter into the flour until the mixture looks like coarse meal. And then you take this and you put it into a 9 or 10 inch pie plate and press the mixture evenly into the bottom and up the sides of the pie plate. So you're making a pastry crust, but no rolling done. It's very easy. The top edge, you want to make nice and neat. So what you do is you put your index finger on the side of the pan, and you push with your right index finger, and you can create a very smooth, nice finish to the pastry crust. Now, these peaches, 5 or 6 of them, depends on how big they are, peeled and halved, arrange them over the crust, cut side down, and sprinkle them with an additional 1/2 cup of sugar. These days, for me, sweetness, 1/2 cup of sugar is enough. You sprinkle them with 1/2 cup of sugar. If you like cinnamon in something like this, which I don't usually, you can sprinkle a little bit of cinnamon on top too. Now, put it in a 400-degree oven and let it bake for about 15 minutes. But you finish this with a custard that is made by mixing 1 cup of heavy cream, although I have made this, by the way, with sour cream. I've made this with yogurt. I would not use low-fat yogurt. I would use full-fat regular yogurt and 2 eggs. So you beat the cream, the sour cream, or the yogurt, 1 cup, with 2 eggs. And after the pastry is baked for 15 minutes, you pour the... But by the way, some juices will be created in the oven. The fruit, you know, seeping juices from the sugar in the baking. So pour this very carefully on top of the whole thing, drizzle very nicely, and put it back in the oven. And I would say 15 minutes, another half hour. And it should all be set like a custard. You can serve this, and then that's it. You can either serve it warm. I usually serve it at room temperature. I have to remember that when I was making this at my beach, this is when I was very young, and all my friends were very young, and we could eat anything we wanted. I would have to make more than one, because sometimes it disappeared even before it got to room temperature. So that's one thing that I'm going to treat myself with these peaches that Ellen has discovered. But I must say I'm eating a lot of fruit, including watermelon. Now, I read somewhere this week it was on my Facebook feed. Somebody said, oh, well, I like this. I like to make this watermelon and feta salad, which I'm going to tell you about in a second. It's like the trendiest thing. But my husband is diabetic and can't eat watermelon. This is a fallacy. In fact, a friend of mine who went on a diet said, well, how do you eat so much watermelon? That's the worst thing you can eat. It's not true. Watermelon, for instance, is mostly water. It's like 90-something% water. And it is slightly sweet and very refreshing, but it is almost on the par with cucumber, which is to say you can eat as much of it as you want without worrying about it. They are related, by the way, watermelon and cucumber. So I just like my watermelon for its own sake. My only complaint lately about watermelon, and this is the season, by the way, and in fact, here in Brooklyn, we have guys who come up from the South where they grow a lot of watermelon and park on the side of the street here and sell watermelons off the back of a truck. And they go fast, by the way. So I haven't bought a watermelon from one of these guys lately, but all the watermelons I buy are seedless watermelons. I don't think seedless watermelons have the same flavor or sweetness as the ones with seeds.
They don't. They don't. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, so where do you find one with seeds?
You have to go to a farm stand that sells.
My farm stand only has the seedless ones.
Wow.
You know, I don't, in all, actually, now that we've started on this, I've stopped shopping at the farmer's market here. It's just right on my corner. It's wonderful to walk through it. I see a friend from time to time, and that's nice. But the produce is more expensive than the most expensive market in my neighborhood, and I live in an expensive neighborhood, so that's a lot of money. And it's no better. Now, if it was better tasting, I would buy it. But in my experience so this year, back to going to the farmer's market, it's not. I bought at I don't remember how expensive this box of strawberries was, but it was like, I'm not exaggerating, it was $9 for a quart of strawberries, whereas they're $6 at my supermarket. So, or even $5. I bought a quart the other day for $5. So, and I bet you where you are, it's even cheaper. Anyway, for the farmer to charge that much, there's no middleman here. Their expenses are higher. I don't doubt it. The fertilizer, things to grow the berries are higher, and transportation to get to the market and back is much higher. Still, that's a user's price. And if they were great, I would, but they weren't great. But I am eating strawberries. Strawberries are probably the best fruit if you're watching your sugar. Watermelon is a close second, actually. Up there is also raspberries. And what else? Peaches and, you know, melon and cantaloupe. I don't want to go into my medical situation. It's nothing important, actually. But I have a little medical problem. And I had a laugh that my doctor gave me a list of foods that could aggravate this problem. Number one was coffee.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I'm not giving up coffee. So that was just right away. And then, of course, tea was up there, too. But I had a laugh that the third food was cantaloupe. Now, I would try to track for several weeks if I had this, if my medical problem got worse if I ate a lot of cantaloupe, and it did not. So I don't know what that's all about. But cantaloupe is very low in calories. If you remember back to the ancient times, diets often had you eating cantaloupe with cottage cheese. Remember, that was like a sublime diet food. Well, I still like cottage cheese, but I prefer my cantaloupe with prosciutto.
I used to love going to the Concord when my father performed there,
yeah.
And they'd have the cantaloupe and all those things in little balls they bring out. They, you know, they scooped them out with that. And
yes, I have a melon ball. I used it recently.
I love the melon ball.
So, yeah, prosciutto and melon, this is the time of the year to enjoy that. Even though, if you order prosciutto and melon in Italy, the melon is usually not very sweet. The really sweet melon, yes, they'll eat for dessert, but a less sweet melon is used for the prosciutto. I like sweet with my prosciutto, and I'm getting very good prosciutto di Parma and prosciutto San Daniele at a decent enough price these days. So I do that. And the other, so I mentioned this salad of watermelon and feta. You know, it's these things, this was trendy, I don't know, 20 years ago it became a thing. Could be that long ago. Now it's actually mainstream. And you can go to a coffee shop or diner, and they're going to have a salad, especially if it's a Greek diner, they're going to have a salad of watermelon. I don't know if I want to call it a salad. I guess it is. Cubed watermelon with feta cheese and mint. It is a great combination. The sweet or slightly sweet watermelon next to the salty feta. You got to get good feta cheese, though. Do not buy that. The crumbled feta may be fine if you want to throw it into a tossed salad, but that's the only use I can think of. And why wouldn't you want to have a better quality of feta, even if you were tossing it into a salad? So there, feta is made, is American feta. There's Greek feta, Bulgarian feta, French feta. For a long time, I was buying feta from Israel because it was carried in one of the markets in my neighborhood, and it was particularly creamy. And I do like a feta that has a creamy texture as opposed to a dry, crumbly texture. And it was sheep's milk feta. There's also mixed sheep and goat milk feta. So find a feta that you like and crumble it yourself. And so take your cubed watermelon, or you could use a melon baller if you want, make melon balls. And I don't like to put oil or anything, actually, on my watermelon. I think it's just fine the way it is, but some people will actually, you know, put a little vinegar on. I don't know. I don't think you need anything except watermelon, crumbled feta, and some very finely shredded fresh mint. If you don't have fresh mint, although it's an easy enough thing to get these days, it grows like a weed all over the place around here, you can even use dried mint. It's a very, it's a good, with a piece of bread, you can make lunch, that make that into lunch. If you're not eating bread, it's just a wonderful salad, or even a side dish, for that matter, with a grilled piece of meat next to it. So, what else? Fruit. I'm just, like, full of fruit. My nephew told me the other day that he made a recipe of mine that I have not made in many years, and it's the shortcake. He kept saying shortbread. I tried to correct him, but was no use. The shortcake that is in my very first cookbook for strawberries, for making strawberry shortcake. And the shortcake is nothing more than a drop biscuit, meaning biscuit dough that you don't roll out. You literally drop it off of a spoon. So let me give you that recipe. It's in Cooking in a Small Kitchen, my first cookbook, still available. You know, it was reissued a couple of years ago in a facsimile version that was part of a series called Classic Cookbooks by Macmillan. You can order it on Amazon. I must say, I'm cooking from the... This is my first cookbook. I'm cooking these some of these recipes again. As I said last week, I'm visiting old friends. But this is a really good, I think, shortcake recipe, and easy enough to throw together. 2 cups of all-purpose flour, a tablespoon, whole tablespoon of baking powder, 2 tablespoons, I'm sorry, make it 3 tablespoons of sugar. Remember, this is for dessert. It's not to go with your biscuits and gravy. 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and those are your dry ingredients, and just like I mentioned before, to make the cookie dough for the crostata, you cut in 6 tablespoons of butter. As I also said, you can either pinch that in or cut it in with 2 kitchen knives or use a pastry blender, which is like a series of different knives. By the way, I use my pastry blender a lot these days because I don't make much pastry, but I discovered my pastry blender is I have a good one. It's got like 5 sharp wires. Is very good for making egg salad. Okay, so back to shortcake. That's it. The butter, you cut in the butter into the mixed dry ingredients, and then the liquid here is three quarters of a cup of milk. I would do this in the measuring cup. 3/4 of a cup of milk, and then beat in with a fork 2 egg yolks. The egg whites save for a meringue or something, or don't save them, or make a, I don't like this very much, but you can make an egg white omelet. So you measure out the milk, add the egg yolks, and then stir that into the dry ingredients with a fork just until the dough binds together. And then on a greased and floured baking sheet, or if you want to, you could use, the parchment paper or a no-stick pad. They're out of fashion, I see. I never liked those no-stick silicone pads because they change the baking temperature and they change the browning on goods that are baked on them. Anyway, these go into a 425-degree oven. This amount of dough should make 6 irregular mounds. Space the shortcakes a good 2 inches apart, 6 of them. And then you bake in a 425-degree oven for about 15 minutes until you're going to see. It'll happen. The irregular points and edges of the biscuits, because they're just drop biscuits, will start turning brown, and that's about it. Now, this is what you split in half. Now, if you want to be totally fabulously indulgent, you could split it in half while it's warm and butter it with some soft butter, and then you put in the middle, between the two halves of biscuit, you put in your macerated strawberries, or not macerated strawberries, but I mean macerated. Sprinkle a little sugar on some cut-up strawberries. You might want to sprinkle a little liqueur on that, too. And there's your strawberry filling. And then you top it all with whipped cream. I'm getting hungry, but not. What I really want to make, because this, in searching my own files for food ideas, I came across something from a restaurant. Now, I don't know what year, but this is Strawberries Romanoff from Sparks, the steakhouse. And Pat Chetta, I think he's passed away since a long time already. I'm guessing that this was the early 1980s that I got this recipe. And it was the Strawberries Romanoff that they served at Spark Steakhouse. And it was, at the time, I have this in my notes, this dessert, it was a stemmed glass full of this Strawberries Romanoff, cost $10.50, which I said at the time, I was a restaurant critic at the Daily News at the time, was the priciest restaurant dessert in town. Now, I'm not sure you can even find a dessert for $10.50. I must say, I do remember, I'm old enough to remember this, is I had a friend who was the executive chef for Lehman Brothers when they were the Lehman Brothers. His job not only was to feed the executives in the office, but also to go to restaurants so that he could recommend for them places to take clients and make reservations for them as a known quantity, blah, blah. And I remember we were at a friend's for dinner one night, and Bill came in and he said, "You're not going to believe this, but the average price for dinner now is $35. So now the average price for dinner in New York is probably closer to $100. Anyway, they cheated. Strawberries Romanoff is a classic dessert. Not at all Russian, by the way. It's French. It's just strawberries with a custard sauce. But at Sparks, instead of making a custard, and oh, by the way, the custard sauce has whipped cream folded into it. So it's not just ordinary custard sauce, creme anglaise. It's creme anglaise with spiked whipped cream folded into it. In this case, though, they used French vanilla ice cream as the custard. Now, if you think about it, French vanilla, I saw Jacques Pepin do this recently. He says, you know, French vanilla has eggs in it, so it's the same as a custard sauce, except that it's frozen. So at Sparks, they used to let the French vanilla ice cream melt and then fold in heavy cream whipped with Grand Marnier or another orange liqueur, but, you know, the best would be Grand Marnier. So for half a cup of heavy cream, you whip it with 2 tablespoons of Grand Marnier, and pour that and fold that into a cup of melted ice cream, French vanilla, and you could use regular vanilla too, I guess, but the French vanilla has egg in it. like real custard. It is real custard. And that's it. And you pour that over strawberries. At Sparks, if I remember correctly, they actually folded the strawberries into this custardy, fluffy, creamy mixture. But you can do what you want with it. It really, and by the way, it makes a very good presentation if you put it in a wine goblet or even in a sherbet glass. It looks good. So fruit. This is the time to take advantage. And let's not forget, tomatoes are fruit.
So then my favorite fruits would be apple cobbler, peach cobbler, and tomato pie.
Tomato pie. I'm not going to remember the name, but there used to be a cafe in Lakeville.
Yes.
What was the name?
I forget it now. And there was not only that cafe, but there was also another cafe. Two of them made tomato pies.
I have the recipe from one of them.
When they're done right, they're absolutely terrific.
Yeah, I remember loving it and being skeptical. It wasn't sweet.
No.
I know that I have a recipe for it somewhere here.
The restaurant, I forget, this is terrible because it's been closed for a while. The restaurant was right by the White Hart that was known for it.
Yes, it was across the street.
Yeah, but then another restaurant had opened up, which also made a great tomato pie. But that tomato pie was the tomato pie for years that was around here. Yes, that was an incredible tomato. That's terrible. I can't remember the name.
Neither can I. Well, somebody will remind us,
I'm sure.
I'm sure. So, it inundate you. Sorry, folks. We need a little help in our old age.
That's exactly
no,
right.
No, I mean, I it wasn't such a consequential place that we have to remember it, but I was
Chihuahua. Chihuahua.
And I did go there specifically for the tomato pie.
Chihuahua. Chihuahua.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Spell it.
No.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, all right.
And by the way, the tomato pie was not an original with them. She'd gotten the recipe from someplace else. But, you know, these things have a heritage.
Yes.
That I can't, and it's not really important to trace anyway.
All right.
So I'm off to buy more peaches.
buy more peaches. All right,
we're going
Arthur.
Through so many peaches here. And nectarines. In fact, I think I'm going to make the beach peach crostata with nectarines this year. Okay.
All right.
Have
take
a great
care.
Week, everybody.
Take care, Arthur. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find Arthur, of course, at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.